want to pray for traveling mercies for my friend Nikki as she returns from vacation in California, and her parents while they travel to Oklahoma City to pick her up at the airport this evening. And then we want to continue to pray for her mom, Patty, as she's finished with the radiation for the spot on her back and still doing chemo for her hip.
And let's add Neva and Joe Pyatt to that as they head to Tennessee for Joe's annual ski trip, water skiing trip. I believe so, yes. I know. God is so good.
Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you that we can bring our prayers and our petitions to you, knowing that you hear us, not on the basis of our own virtue or our own goodness, but because we have received the righteousness of Christ. And what a joy it is to know that his righteousness buys us access to you. And so we bring these requests before you, these that have requested traveling mercies, Lord. We just ask that you watch over them as they travel, keep them safe, Lord, as they travel back from California. And then as the one goes to Oklahoma City to pick them up from the airport, God, I just ask that you watch over them as they travel. And for the chemo and for the radiation and all the other things that go on with the cancer, God, what a hard thing that is on somebody's body, not just the cancer, but sometimes the treatment seems to do worse things to the body. And so we just pray for your hand of grace on them in this moment, that you would heal the body, you would heal, that the treatment would be maybe better than expected. God, ultimately the cancer would be removed and this person would be restored to full health. And I just pray as well for Joe and Neva as they travel to Tennessee today. Just thankful for them and the friendship they've given to me in the last year and a half. I've gotten to be their pastor, and I just ask that you would give them safety as they travel, and they would have a great time visiting their family. And Lord, I also know that we've got a group from our church, one that's headed overseas tomorrow on a mission trip to Portugal, and three more, including my daughter, who are headed to Portland, Oregon at the moment, who are going to just work at sharing the gospel there. And so we pray that you give them favor with you, Lord, as they share the gospel, that you give people a hearing, you would give people hearts to respond to the good news of the gospel, God, that they would be faithful to share the good news of the gospel, that each of them would be, God, just bold in their witness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, and that you would be glorified in all that they say and do. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I did have one that came to mind. Let's pray for Jennifer, who admitted that she's a little confused about Christianity.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful for Jennifer and her honesty that she's confused about things. Lord, we know that your word tells us that the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, and that what smells like life to us smells like death to others. And so we just pray that you'd open her eyes to see the truth. Lord, we know that nobody comes to you unless you first draw them to you, Lord. And so I pray that you'd be at work in the heart of Jennifer to draw her to yourself. Lord, that you put people in her life that can clearly articulate the good news of the gospel for her, God, who can make it plain. But Lord, we also understand that all of the arguments in the world are ultimately fruitless unless you are at work in her heart. So, God, we ask that you would draw her to yourself in salvation. You would glorify yourself in her in salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I have a praise report, y'all. So my little sister, Renee, she's been having health issues, and she has been trying to get approved for a reduction, a breast reduction, because it has just caused so much pain and suffering through her life. She got the call this week. She got the call this week. She's scheduled for September 5th. Awesome. Not only did she get the approval finally after having to appeal it, when she got it, lickety split. Yeah. I mean, September 5th. So I may not be here September 5th. All right. I want to be there with my mom and my sister and her husband to celebrate it. I know. When God moves, woo boy, hang on, y'all.
Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your socks off.
And your shoes. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Jason Holland. His title for this morning is Entrusted. Before you get back into your message, would you be kind enough to share your church, location, times of services, and anything else that you would like to share?
I am pastor at First Baptist Church in Cheyenne. We are at 608 East Broadway in Cheyenne. So if you go to the four-way stop right in the middle of town, hang a right. If you're coming from the south and go east up on top of the hill, you'll see the church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:50 for worship. Sunday evenings here in about a month. We're going to start back up our Sunday evening discipleship classes at 6 and 5:30. We'll have a prayer meeting. And then on Wednesday nights, we meet at 5:30 for Club Kick, which is our kids program, and for the youth at 5:30 as well. And one special thing we've got coming up is starting on August 20th for four consecutive Sundays. I'm going to preach through a series I call Gather, Grow, Give, and Go. So gather is about the priority of gathering with God's people on a consistent basis. Grow is about the priority of growing in Christ. Giving is about giving all of yourself. We think of giving in financial terms, and yes, that's certainly part of it, but we give of our time, our talent, our skills, all of who we are, to the service of Christ and his church, and then going, living as if we have been sent on mission, going and making disciples here, near, and far. And so that'll start on August 20th and run for four weeks. All right, well, getting back to it, we left off talking about, if Jesus is causing me to suffer, why it makes logical sense that we would want to avoid that. And here's where we need to learn again. We must entrust ourselves, entrust our pride, our reputation to our faithful Creator. So here's where we must entrust ourselves. If we shrink from the heat in the fiery ordeal, so not only like we talked about before, are we robbing ourselves of joy, but we are also communicating that we value our pride, we value our social status over our faithful Creator. We are valuing our temporary position, our temporary acceptance over the acceptance, the love of our faithful
creator. And so we entrust ourselves to him. Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me in my words, when the Son of Man returns in glory, he will be ashamed of him. I don't know about you, but that does not sound like what I want to happen. I don't want to be ashamed of my Savior, and then he return and be like, yeah, I don't know who you are. I'm ashamed to know that you once called me by my name. And then we entrust ourselves, we entrust our pride to him, because doing so leads to a life of fearlessly following him. If we trust him with all that we are, if we trust him with our pride, if we entrust him with our reputation, with our social status, our acceptance, if we trust him with all of those things, it frees us to live a life that is fearless and courageous in following Christ. So how do we actually do that? How do we actually trust ourselves to the Lord, to our faithful creator, with our pride and our reputation, which are two of our most personal things? Everybody has pride, whether they seem humble or not. Everybody's got pride. And we all have a reputation. We all have what people think about us. And we all should be, to an extent, concerned about those things. So how do we trust those things, those very personal things, to the Lord? Well, I think we can kill two birds with one stone. We can grow in courage. We can grow in our ability to live fearlessly with the Lord while also satisfying our need for social fulfillment. Here's how we can do that. We are wired for connection. God made us to be connected. We are wired for community. God has made us that way. And this is where the local church is so important. This is where being connected to the local church is so, so, so critically important. Having a family, a group of people in the world who love us and trust us and know who we are, and it frees us to live a life that is not seeking the approval of the world, not seeking to be accepted by the world, because we know we have a family, brothers and sisters in Christ, who love us and accept us and welcome us. And when the world beats us up, we can go home to our family meeting every Sunday morning, and we can be welcomed with warmth and with love, and it frees us to live in a way that is fearless with the world. I say this to my church regularly. I will say this here, and you may hear me say it again in the future. A Christian cannot, will not, does not thrive apart from the local church. The New Testament knows no other thing. A Christian that is disconnected from the church absolutely cannot survive long without it. It just is not possible. We cannot make it on our own. One of the best ways to entrust yourself to the faithful creator is by entrusting yourself to a faithful local church. When you do that, you free yourself up to live a life that is fearlessly following the Lord while also meeting your need that God has given you for connection and community. We do that. My wife and I were working in our garden the other day. We've got a small garden. It's not real big. And we were pruning some of our plants. I cut off a couple of parts on one of our tomato plants and just tossed it on the ground. The next day, that plant, that part was shriveled up. It didn't take long. We're talking like 12 or 18 hours later, it was already shriveled up. Now, of course, a Christian doesn't just lay on the ground and get shriveled up if they're disconnected from the church. But the same thing is true. When we are disconnected from the church, we are eventually going to dry up. We are eventually going to suffer because of that. We need the church. It's important for us. Ecclesiastes 4:12 talks about a cord of three strands not being easily broken. Me by myself, or even a couple of us, perhaps we could be snapped. But the more of us there are together, the greater the strength that we have. And we need one another in a world that is hostile to all that we believe. We can strengthen ourselves while also strengthening others through the church. It is in God's wisdom, one of the great things that he has given us is the local church, so we can connect ourselves to and be a part of. We need the connection of the local church as much as we need anything. So we trust ourselves with our joy. We entrust ourselves with our pride to the Lord. We also entrust him with our future. So once again, understanding that we are reading these verses in the context of these being the latter days or the last days, we understand a little bit more clearly what it means when Peter says that judgment will begin with the household of God. So let's read what he says for verses 17 and 18. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? All right. We need to understand, again, this is the in the context of the last days. But we are not, we as Christians are not judged. The household of God is not judged in the same way that non-Christians are judged. We are not judged in the same way as unbelievers. Our judgment for the Christian has been redirected into Christ. The ultimate judgment, the worst judgment that we could have faced, that we could have received, has been transferred to Christ at the cross. The wrath that I had stored up for me, the righteous judgment of God that I had coming to me, has been redirected to Christ. He has taken the ultimate judgment. Final judgment was redirected to him. We call this, in theological terms, we call this the great exchange. I gave him my filth, my sin, and in exchange for that, he gave me his righteousness. I no longer am subject to the ultimate final judgment of God on the last day, on the judgment day. Our judgment, on the other hand, is one of purification. Our judgment is one of purification. It's a judgment of the sin that remains in us. Though I am declared just before God, in the moment that I am saved, I am declared just. I have been given the righteousness of Christ. And yet there is still sin that lives in me. I still have remaining sin in me. And so the judgment is that we are being judged now in the flesh for the sin that remains in us. And so when Peter quotes Proverbs 11 here, which is what verse 18 is, it's quoting from Proverbs 11, he's not saying necessarily that it was hard for God to save us, although there is a real sense in which it was hard for God to save us. It cost Christ his life in order to save us. He's not talking about it's hard in that way. He's talking about if the righteous is saved with difficulty. The difficulty here is that we have the hard work of killing sin in our lives. We have the hard work of purging sin from our lives. Purging sin now is entrusting our future selves to him. To do the work of killing sin now, to do the work of rooting out the sin that's in our hearts and our lives now, is to entrust our future selves to him. So what I mean by that is if we are not working at putting to death sin now, we are communicating that we are comfortable standing before God on our own merits. We're comfortable with whatever sin we have left standing before him. Now, if we endure purification now, as Peter says, what will become of those who do not obey the gospel? If we, as God's people, being judged for the sin that remains in us now, what will become of those who do not obey the gospel? I like that phrase there, obey the gospel, because it's interesting to me to think about. We hear the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news, and it is good news, but how do you obey good news? I don't watch the news at night thinking, oh, what's something I can obey from the news that I'm hearing right now? So what is it about the gospel that we are exactly to obey? And if the gospel message is, like I talked about a minute ago, Christ's death, burial, resurrection, his atoning work, his exchanging his righteousness for my sinfulness, if that's the good news of the gospel, what is it that I'm supposed to obey? The obedience part comes in by we obey by repenting and believing. We must obey the imperative of the gospel message, which is that we must repent of our sin and believe the gospel. So those of us who are in Christ already have repented of our sins and believed in Christ. Those who have not obeyed the gospel have not repented of their sins, have not believed. And so Peter is saying, what will become of them on the day of judgment? Those who have not obeyed that message to repent and believe. And so of all of the ones we've done thus far today, the application for this one is the easiest. The application for this one is the easiest. The application is obey the gospel. Obey the gospel. And we can break that down into two different ways. Obey the gospel for the Christian and obey the gospel for those who have yet to obey the gospel the first time. So for the Christian, we need to keep obeying the gospel every single day. We need to remind ourselves of the need for repentance and faith. We are not getting saved over and over and over and over again. If salvation was up to us, then yes, we would need to do that. But salvation is not up to us. We are saved. And first, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it at the day of Christ Jesus. We don't lose our salvation if we foul things up. Praise God. But we do need to remind ourselves of our need for the gospel and our need to obey the gospel daily. I am 23 years post experiencing Christ for the first time. And you know what? There were things I needed to repent of this morning. There were things I needed to remind my heart to believe in the gospel this morning. I don't ever outgrow the gospel. I'm never going to be too big for the gospel. I'm never going to be too good for the gospel. I'm never going to get to the place where I don't need the gospel. I need every day to obey the gospel, to repent of the lingering sin in my life, and to continue to believe, to hold fast to the fact that Jesus died in my place, was buried and resurrected, taking with him out of that grave my death. And one day when he returns, I will be with him in paradise because of all those things. I need to be reminded of that every single day. And yet for the unbeliever, you are never too bad for the gospel. Just like Christian will never be too good for the gospel, there is no such thing as being too bad for the gospel either. We cannot out-sin the grace of God. Now, we can reject the grace of God. We can refuse to believe the gospel. We can't out-sin the grace of God. I cannot overstate the importance of this. Unbeliever, unless you repent and believe, you will face God's final judgment on your own merit. When Christ returns, it will be too late for you to repent of your sins. It will be too late for you to believe then. You must repent and believe the gospel. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus comes, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to glory of God the Father, to the glory of God the Father. So we have two choices. Either now we can repent and believe the gospel, and when he returns in glory, we bow and we confess with full joy, knowing that he is our Savior, knowing that he has redeemed us and he has made us his own. We can bow out of pure worship filled with joy, or we can choose to reject the gospel now, and we can bow as a subjugated person who has been conquered by a king. And at that point, it will be too late to make a change. But when we stand before Christ, we can stand before Christ on the righteousness, or stand before the judgment of God, we can stand before him on the righteousness of Christ or on our own merits. Which of those are you more comfortable with? And this is where the good news comes in. Anybody who's listening to this today, if you can hear my voice, it is not too late for you to obey the gospel. It is not too late for you to confess that you have rebelled against God and become his enemy. It is not too late to repent, to reject your rebellion, to turn from it. It is not too late to believe in the sacrificial death of Jesus, who died, as Peter said earlier in this book, to make us right with God. It is not too late, but you do not know when it will be too late. Life expectancy is somewhere around 80 years. That's the expectation. There's no guarantee there. There is no guarantee that any of us are going to make it the next 5 minutes. It is not too late for you to repent and believe the gospel message. It is not too late for you to obey, but you don't know when it will be. So my encouragement is, don't wait. If you feel the sense of the Lord convicting you of your sin, obey the gospel, repent, believe, because we don't know when it will be too late. And with that, let me pray.
I do have a prayer request that came in. Miss Mandy Wagner asked us to pray for her as she makes a decision about moving.
Okay, we can do that. Father, as we think about entrusting ourselves to you with our joy, with our pride, with our future, God, ultimately it all comes down to whether or not we have obeyed the gospel message. God, I pray for myself and these ladies that we would continue every day to obey the gospel message. We would hold fast to you as you hold fast to us. God, and for those who have not yet believed, God, would you God, would you prod their hearts, God, as they hear this message, to repent and believe, to obey the gospel message, and to entrust themselves to you, their faithful creator. Lord, we pray for this Mandy who is considering whether or not she should move. God, I pray that you give wisdom. James says that if we lack wisdom, we should ask for it, and you'll give it to us in abundance. So we just pray for wisdom in abundance for Mandy as she decides what to do regarding whether or not to move and where and all those different things that go along with that. So we just ask for your wisdom for her in this moment, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. That's a good word. You always bring good food to this table, sir. We appreciate you. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Jason Holland. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.